Thank you. Good morning, everyone. 2 weeks in a row. It's lovely to see all your faces from the front here, rather from over there. So last week we finished our series on flowing out. Is it up? Yes, lovely. We finished our series on flowing out, and for the next 2 weeks we're going to be talking about pastoral care. But really, pastoral care fits in there really nicely because actually, you know, it is flowing out into our friends, our community, our church, family, you know, wider community. It's a flowing out activity. So that's what follows on really nicely. And last week I mentioned the fivefold ministry test, which splits our giftings into pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, and apostle. And as we shared at our recent family meeting, the evangelism and teaching teams are in the works. We already have a prophetic team, and we also have a pastoral care team, though you might not have known about that, which is a good thing because you haven't needed any pastoral care. So what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks is that today we're going to look at pastoral care in the Bible and what the Bible's got to say about that. And then next week we talk about what this looks like here at River Maidenhead. And to start off on the right foot, let's just take away some of the misconceptions people might have about pastoral care and look at what it is not. So it is not something that's only provided by the pastor or the leadership team. It's also not something that's only inward-looking and only available to church members. And it's not a professional service. It doesn't replace things like counselling or addiction advice, for example. And as I said today, we're going to look at pastoral care in the Bible. And in the New Testament, the interactions that are described as with the term pastoral care are also described with the Greek word paraklesis, which broadly means accompaniment, encouragement, admonition, and consolation. It's a great word. I like it. Paraklesis. So just as broad as the translation of that word is, there are lots of different sides to pastoral care. And we're going to look at a few of those today. One that is in many stories in the Bible is that of caring for the vulnerable. That's one side of pastoral care. And the Bible really highlights the importance of caring for the vulnerable, the sick, the marginalized, and reflecting the compassion of Jesus. I've listed a few passages here, but rather than reading them all out, we don't have time for that today. You know, if you want to take a picture and you can look at them in more detail. But there are lots of examples in Luke 8. That's where he restores a demon-possessed man, raises a dead girl, heals a sick woman. In Luke 15, 2, he eats with sinners. In Luke 19, 10, he says he came to seek and save the lost. And then John 4, 7, 10, he meets the Samaritan woman. And then John 8, 1 to 9, he gets alongside a woman who's been accused of adultery. So it's Jesus showing all of us how to care for the vulnerable and get alongside them. Just right there in those passages. And that's just one aspect of pastoral care. But rather than me doing all the talking today and talking at you, I'm going to get you to work. So we do like that. I have 10 Bible passages. So I need you to split into groups of probably about five, no more than five. So split into smaller groups. And then you can read the passage together and discuss what aspect of pastoral care you can see from that passage. And I'm going to give you about 5 minutes or so to do that in your group. And then I'd like one person to just share back what you've learned from that so we can all hear what that is. And if anyone's on Zoom, you have your own passage to look at, which I know they're just going to share with you so you can talk about this too on Zoom. So the passages are on the screen here, but I have also got them printed out so I can hand them out to all the groups. So if you want to get into groups, and I'll come around and hand you all the Bible passage. What translation it is going to be on the little slip I'm sharing, but you might want to look at it, different translation as well, because that's helpful. Just turn this one off. How are we doing? Are we ready? Good. Okay. Right, I've got a second microphone here. Who had John 13, 34 to 35? Oh, no one did, because I have it here. It's the one group that didn't. It's okay, we've got a few of those ones. Romans 13, 8 to 9. Who had Romans? Someone must have. Oh, you lot. There you go. I didn't leave anyone out, even these guys got one. Go on, and what do you see of pastoral care in that?
What we saw was Chris and I were discussing it, and we talked about how we live our lives. We'll try and live our lives as the way the final bit is: love your neighbour as yourself. And we're coming up with lots of examples of that, not just in our own lives, but those of others, and just reflecting on, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if we all did that?
Yep.
And it's a struggle at times. Mm. And it's a struggle sometimes to the death for some people. And but that's it in a nutshell. Yeah. Okay, love your neighbour.
You had the love your neighbour, yeah. And I think Galatians 5:13-14. So if I can have the microphone. There you go. It's this lot over here.
We just talked about the serving one another humbly in love. We do welcome everyone in, and we do love them, and we do serve them, but we have to be careful that we bring them in the ways of Jesus. And there's a word I hate, it's called inclusivity. And we have to be careful. We're not pleasing man and not pleasing God.
Yeah, so this one was serve humbly and love your neighbour again. Galatians 6:1-2. Would it help if I read that passage out, actually? I'm just thinking that would it help to people if we read the passage out before you share it?
Galatians 6:1-2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
So we had a couple of thoughts. The first one was the word, it kind of opens with caught as an idea. So if someone's caught in sin, and I've always, I guess growing up, instinctively seen that as like caught as in, aha, red-handed kind of caught. But it's... We think it's probably more like if someone's kind of trapped or entangled in it rather than caught in the act. And we found that a more helpful way, more encouraging way to think about the passage. And then the passage kind of goes on to talk about gently encourage that person. So spiritually work with them sort of in a very encouraging, humble way. And it warns you that you're not above it either. So don't get all big-headed about it if people get in a bit of a stuck situation. It warns you that... watch out yourself, because you might be tempted. So just whenever you're looking after people, remember that you're not above anything yourself. And then finally, we spent a bit of time talking about the final passage where it says, carry each other's burdens. And we were thinking there about how community can kind of be like a preventative measure to make sure that people's lives don't fall apart in the first place. And that when we walk alongside each other, we can support each other to prevent things breaking apart. Building deep, loving relationships can help keep your life together, I guess.
I love that. That's more than I wrote down. 2 Corinthians. Who had that? 2 Corinthians 1-4. Yeah. See, if you read it out and then share what you've
Talked about. So he always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same comfort that God has brought out, has poured out upon us.
Yeah, and when we were discussing this, we reckon that what one of the main things we had to do, if we were trying to comfort someone, was to listen to them. Because I think quite often people find if they're not listened to, that makes them feel so isolated. So it encouraged them to share. But Andrew said that we aren't trying to be doing things by ourselves, which reminds me of the old AA advert, I know a man who can. So, and basically being prepared to, well, it, offering encouragement, or as Andrew says again, listen with your eyes. Other songs are available, but I won't sing that one. And you know, if we can't deal with something at that very moment, you need to make a time, make an appointment. I suppose it also gives you an opportunity to go away and pray about something and think about something, and certainly don't dismiss something as, you know, well, that's too small, it can't be a problem, which remind me of the saying of, you know, you can't see the wood for the trees, but it's little things such as brambles and things that can trip you up. It can be, you know, something very small, you can still sort of smash yourself into the ground on it, or literally or metaphorically.
I love this. Colossians 3:12-14. That was the trickiest one, actually. And it's quite long.
Okay, that's a deal. You are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavour to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity.
Okay, I'm going to try and sort of clarify what we did. So basically, we spoke... Actually, can I have that piece of paper? I'm just dropping my tea as well. There we are. Right, okay. So basically, we were just talking about the impact, actually, of when you experience kindness or you experience sort of like patience and stuff. So it was very much so. I think I was in shopping in B&Q a few weeks ago, and there was this lady. I was just chatting to her, just asking her name and stuff. And she said at the end, she said, "Thank you for being kind to me." And I hadn't really... And I thought, actually, I didn't really do that much except smile at her and be, you know, ask about it. But and I was, we were just talking in our group, actually, the impact of... And Andy was talking about an experience that she was shown real thoughtfulness and kindness by somebody at work, that there was something going on with her pay and whatever, but she chose not to speak to Andy straight away, but actually chose a time when Andy was a bit quieter, you know, she'd got through a lot of the work she had to do, and it was really, but it really hit Andy. And I think this, you know, when we actually show kindness, Roger gave an example of in Croydon, there was a family that their daughter was murdered, and they were Christians, and actually it had such a, the way they responded to the situation just had a real impact. So I think it, there's something, and I think Morgan was talking about us being holy, it's because there's something happening, you know, that our lives have been changed and transformed. And actually, that's, it's our action towards other people that help us, you know, that, that shows an impact, that shows there's something different, that we are holy, we're set apart. And I think that's, is that also, yeah, very much the kindness really speaks and to the hearts of people.
Brilliant. What have we got next? John 21:15. Is that you guys? Oh, hang on.
No. Excuse me. I cannot explain, but I try.
So we can't hear you.
Ah, thank you very much. In Colossians 3, verse 12, this passage tells us we need to say the Jesus. He is good. He has a good heart, love the people. And we need to say with him. In the 13 verse, this passage tells me, if I bad, but God is good and love me, he love the people but hate the sin, and I need to love all people, because I'm not good more than other. Yeah. Only God is good.
Yeah. Very good. good point. I also love that he loves the people but hates the sin. That's really good. I think it's, the next one's yours, isn't it?
Okay. Okay, so we had a really short one. Never stop praying.
We landed it. It's twofold. Partly it's that pastoral care involves God, that actually prayer is our connection to and from God. It's our listening, it's our seeking. And when we are providing that pastoral care, that love for another person, we're inviting God into that situation to be there with us and to be... We are the mouthpiece of God, and he's also bringing wisdom to us through that. And then the other part where it says never stop praying or never cease praying, we looked at it in several translations, because it's so short, we looked at pretty much every translation the Bible has for it. And it was just pray continually, don't stop. So actually, what do you do outside of that one-on-one, face-to-face pastoral situation is you can continue praying. When you're going to that meeting, when you're going away from that, whatever it looks like, that person you're loving for, your neighbor, whatever the situation looks like, just don't stop praying. Pray until something happens.
Very good. I gave you the shortest. There's lots to talk about, right? You guys haven't been yet, have you? No. Yeah. I'm saving you for last.
Thank you.
We looked particularly at take tender care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. And I think we would all agree with that, but we thought, if we're honest... when there are people who are particularly needy, when there are people who are quite annoying, it's very easy to do the exact opposite of this. And Howard and Graham talked particularly about accepting people as they are and meeting them where they are. Do you want to say
anything? Yeah, just meeting people where they're at and say encouraging the timid is to start from where they're at and then build them up from there with the scripture, with love and with care.
It's notable that when Jesus was dealing with people, so this is a very late thought, he went to them rather than they had to, very often he found them where they were.
You guys not been? Yeah. Hang on. All right, which one did you have? A really long one as well.
So this was John 21. 15 to 17, when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And we picked out, I think, three things in this. The context of this, from most sort of Christian scholars, would say the reason he asked him three times is because Peter had previously denied him three times. And this was restoration. But the other words here that really stuck out was feed my lambs and tend my sheep. And if you look at that in a different context, say like gardening, you feed the soil. But sometimes you have to really tend the garden. That might mean weeding. It might mean giving plants support. It might mean doing other things that bring that on. And so... The context that we see in this is that Jesus loves. And it seems that it was out of that position of love that Peter was then being called to feed and to tend. And if a plant or a person is broken, they're not in a position to reach out very often. You know, if you've got a broken leg, it's difficult to run a marathon. You actually need other people. And Jesus went to Peter. He went to the broken. He went to the person who was suffering rather than the other way around. And so Julia said, you know, actually in that position, would Peter have even felt that he could have approached Jesus after what he'd done? He felt that bad. But Jesus goes to him and tends to him.
Very good. Similar to what you just said about Jesus goes to them rather than the other way around. Right, so the last one. Is anyone? Have I missed anyone? I don't think so. It's just this, these guys. Right, do you want to read it out?
Get away with that.
Oh, okay.
Let me know. Just read it out first.
Okay. Peter 1:5, verse 2-3. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So when we were discussing it, we thought it was talking about being selfless and serving and caring for others without being prideful and arrogant, caring for others like with your heart, not just for personal gain. And also set examples for others as Jesus set for us in being our shepherd, so we should be shepherds for other people. And just be like Jesus and being truthful and graceful.
Awesome. Well done, guys. And now Zoom had the same verse as these guys, but there isn't any comments. So I know Alec and Linda are on Zoom. So just in case they want to share anything, just add it on and we'll read it out in a bit. Thank you. Just leave that there. So do you want to go back to your seat so you can see? Thank you, guys. That was really insightful. It's like so much better when you do the work rather than me. So I know you've got so much more out of that than I could have possibly done on my own. I've tried to summarize the points, but yeah, there's so much more in there from you than I could have done. So, you know, caring for the vulnerable because Jesus did it first. Let's do as Jesus did. Christ-like love and serving one another. Carrying each other's burdens. Looking out for each other and serving each other. Humbling. Comforting each other in their time of need. Building up the body of Christ by using the gifts or the, you know, kindness and compassion cloaking ourselves in it. Looking after God's flock. I mean, the word pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd. So it's in the word in the first place. Guiding people with wise counsel and words. And prayer and intercession. There's always room for prayer in any of these. And all those points there on the screen, in my experience, translate into a really wide range of hands-on activities, because these can be a little abstract in a way. But you've got some really hands-on activities that these could be, you know, like listening, we said earlier, like I think there was you about listening to people, encouraging, visiting, hospitality. I won't read them all out. There's lots of them. But yeah, prayers in there, again, helping. These are all really hands-on activities that can are involved in pastoral care. And just to say, whether you've scored high on the pastoral care points in your fivefold ministry or not, is something we all need to walk in. I'm not denying that some pastoral care situations need a certain set of skills and or maturity in Christ, but love one another is a command that we're all given. And so I really see pastoral care as getting alongside others, you know, whether you're a new Christian or not, and whether you score high on pastoral care or not. It's a basic form. In its basic form, pastoral care is everyone's responsibility. And it doesn't stop at getting alongside people in our church. As I said right at the start, one thing pastoral care is not, it's just for people in the church, inward looking. I actually think pastoral care and evangelism overlap massively, and they go hand in hand, especially me scoring high on both of these. And they're just part of who we are as Christians. It is with pastoral care and evangelism that we as a church can fulfill our role here in Maidenhead of being a place of healing, growth, and transformation. And pastoral care definitely is a missional activity, you know, by simply offering it to those who are not yet Christians. So I remember organizing a food rota for a non-Christian, and she literally called it a godsend without kind of thinking about what she was saying there. But that's how it felt to her, Jasper organising a food rota. So, if you thought you were done participating today, sorry, lulled you in the wrong false sense of security there today. We're going to do some more. Prayer and listening and caring are a big part of pastoral care, and it's something we all need to practice. So this very neatly fits into what we did last week about praying for each other. So I thought this would be a really good opportunity to practice again about how to pray for someone that ideally is a stranger. So here's the script from last week. For anyone who wasn't here, and actually I still find it helpful, even though I was here and I wrote this. So just as we did last week, I want you to pair up, ideally with someone that you don't know that well. Then you share a genuine prayer request with each other, and then pretend you don't know that person. You know, ask them for their name like you would when you speak to someone in a supermarket, like you did, Rachel, you know, randomly speak to someone. So ask the person for their name, explain what you're going to do, which could be simple as, we're just going to stand here, you know, can I pray with you? We're just going to stand here. Can I put my hand on your shoulder if that's okay? And then I'm just going to say a simple prayer and see what happens, you know, just so they know what to expect. Don't close your eyes. Did I put that on there? Yes. Don't close your eyes. It's a it's a weird Christian thing that people do. The other person will be looking at you and you'll be closing your eyes and they're going, what am I meant to do? So don't close your eyes. Just look at them or the bridge of their nose if you don't want to look in their eyes if you find that too uncomfortable. So, and then, you know, you pray with them. You say a simple prayer and you use the words that they've used in what you're praying for. Don't project onto it what you think should be in that prayer. Don't add anything in that, you know, you want them to experience. Just keep it simple. And literally like, dear Jesus, thank you that you love Haley. Thank you that you care about whatever you've shared with me. And then please do whatever Haley asked me to do, you know, what she's asked for. Please show them that you love them. Amen. So keep it really simple. And then follow up with them, you know, if you don't know them, see, you know, ask them if anything's happened, if they can feel any different. If not, exchange numbers and follow up with them because it might be something that they don't know or can't happen there and then.